Many of the struggles of the civil rights era are well known. Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat, the March on Washington, Bloody Sunday in Selma, and the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. Others remain hidden or only known to a few. In 1963, African-American girls aged 13 to 15 were held in a stockade for 2 months. Their crime? Demonstrating for integration in Americus, Georgia. An unremarkable cinder block building sits just outside Leesburg in the southwest corner of the state. It's painted bright white and gleams in the blistering South Georgia sun. A maintenance worker lifts up a washed-out Pepsi sign, revealing the building's original name, etched in stone, Lee County Stockade.
The city of Leesburg moved out of it, and they've been cleaning it out.
Okay, can we go in?
Yes, ma'am, it's open.
Okay.
The inside is drab and windowless, concrete floors, fluorescent lights, bare walls. The city used it as office space, and it once housed the county's 911 call center. Carol Barner C. remembers every detail of how it looked in 1963. She's returned many times over the years.
I'm just grateful to be able to keep coming back to see where I was. Even though it held me then, it don't hold me now. So when I left, I didn't take this with me.
For Emerine Streeter, it's her first time back in over 50 years.
Even when Essence magazine came, I didn't come.
Me?
What's it like?
She sighs, holds up her hand, and walks into another room.
That's all right, baby. It's genuine. It's genuine.
These women and 13 others spent 45 days in this building for challenging the ways of the segregated South. Starting in 1962, Americus, Albany, and other towns in southwest Georgia were the focus of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. The group first came to the region to register black voters, but their focus shifted to direct action, massive protests to integrate bus stations, movie theaters, and other public spaces. Diane Dorsey Bowens was 13 at the time.
And my grandmother would send me to town at medication to the drugstore. You go, when you walk in, you know, you just, there's a pickaninny. Here comes another pickaninny. All kinds of saying everything to you make me feel so bad. So when the movement came to Americus, Georgia, I was fired up. I was just ready to go, ready to join, to try to help change, to do something.
Hundreds turned up for these mass meetings, many of them teenagers or younger.
They sang songs, we prayed, and then we were given instructions and directions.
Carol Barner C. was at those meetings, too. She also took part in a few marches, but would always back out at the last minute.
So one day I finally made up my mind. Today is the day. Carol, today is the day. You will stay in line, you won't get out. And no matter what happened, if I don't make it back to see my mom, my dad, my sisters and brothers, it would be okay. Maybe. Just maybe my siblings won't have to go through the hell that I'm going through.
That was the day in July of 63 that SNCC protested a segregated movie theater. Shirley Reese was 14 years old. She waited in line to buy a ticket.
We did not move, but I had at that time no idea that we was going to be going to jail. So in about maybe 30 minutes, here come a big truck pulling up to the one theater and said that everyone in this line is arrested. And you can imagine what I was thinking about then. I had snuck away from home. My mama didn't know where I was because they was not home. And here I am being arrested.
The protesters were taken to Dawson, about 30 miles south of Americus, where they spent the night in jail. The next day, they were hauled to the stockade in Lee County. Carol Barner C. says for weeks they slept on cement floors, used a common toilet that quickly stopped up, and ate nothing but egg sandwiches and undercooked hamburgers.
Even in there, can you imagine that you were in there with girls and you were in there this long with no bath, no toothbrush toothpaste to brush your teeth. So when you stood next to me, I couldn't go like, wow, you smell, because I smelled just like you.
The girls' families had no idea where they were. The local dog catcher who brought the girls' food eventually told their parents. Shirley Reese says word got back to SNCC as well.
They heard about the girls down there sleeping in Leesburg, and I don't know how they heard about it, sleeping in a filthy hellhole. So Danny Lyons was the official photographer for the whole area, taking pictures.
Danny Lyon was a 21-year-old SNCC volunteer. He was able to sneak into the stockade and shoot about 20 photographs. Reese says they were shocked.
You know, we saw him out there, and I guess we got a little loud. And I guess I was saying, while I was smiling, who are you? I said, who are you? And things like that. And we was all trying to find out what was what. And if you look at the picture, that group picture, you'll see some girls with their backs turned looking out front. They was our protective, trying to make sure that nobody knew that this guy was over there.
Those black and white images capture the squalor these girls lived in, the stopped up toilet, the dripping shower head. Lyon's pictures were published in a SNCC newsletter and later in Jet Magazine and other black-owned publications. The Chicago Defender ran the images under the headline, Kids Sleeping on Jail Floor, America's Hellhole for Many. The girls were finally released in mid-September 1963. They were never charged with any crime, but their parents each had to pay a $2 boarding fee. It was a Friday, and they were expected at school the following Monday. Carol Berner-See says none of their classmates asked what happened to them.
The only thing I heard while we were changing classes, there was a group of kids that would just be standing there just staring at you. And then all of a sudden you'll hear this, what kind of bird don't fly? Silence. And then somebody said, a jailbird. And then they'll run away. Well, one of the girls got agitated about that. And I went to her and I say, don't let it bother you, because they don't understand. I said, what we did it not for us, but for everybody.
Emmerine Streeter didn't talk about her experience for years, and that silence shaped her life.
The one thing that I wished that had happened is that I had had counseling, you know, after all of this. I went on to become a guidance counselor myself. To help me, you know, to help the children also, but to help me. And I think that if we just had some counseling during that time, all of us would have been twice better off.
Nine of the 15 women are still living. Some moved far away from Americus. Shirley Reese returned a few years ago and now serves on the city council. Earlier this year, the General Assembly passed a resolution honoring the women. Georgia Congressman John Lewis, Sanford Bishop, and Hank Johnson have nominated them for the Presidential Medal of Freedom. For GPB News, I'm Bradley George.